Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sar Malka Reichman. Today we're studying Sefer Shmuel, Perek Yud Gimel, where we will learn of a pivotal moment in Shaul's career that will determine and influence the rest of his reign. At the beginning of the Perek, we hear that Shaul has been ruling for a year, Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho, Ushtei Shanim Malach Al Yisrael. There is confusion and conflict about the chronology in this first pasuk that would lend itself to an entire share in itself. We hear that Shaul has chosen 3,000 people from Am Yisrael to be soldiers, 2,000 of which were with Shaul in Michmash and in Har Beit El, 1,000 of whom were with his son Yonatan in Givat Binyamin. Vayach Yonatan et Netziv Plishtim Asher Begeva. Vayishmu Plishtim. Yonatan killed the Plishti officer who was in Givat Binyamin, and the Plishtim heard about it. So Shaul blows the shofar and sends a message out to all of Am Yisrael. They must know, they must be prepared that the Plishtim may retaliate. He tells them also that the Plishtim hate and despise Am Yisrael. And so the nation, hearing about this, they go and they follow Shaul to Gilgal, the Yitzaku Ha'am Acharei Shaul HaGilgal. The Plishtim are preparing for war. They gather together. They have 36,000 chariots. And Am Kachol Asher Al Sfat HaYam LaRov. In the eyes of Am Yisrael, it seems like the multitudes of their nation is enough to carpet an entire coast. And they go and they encamp at Michmash. Am Yisrael are very scared. They go and hide wherever they can. Vayitzchabu ha'am, bame'arot, uvachavachim, uvaslaim, uvatzrichim, uvaborot, wherever they can take cover. We're even told about a group of people who is identified as Ivrim, who cross the Yarden, the Jordan River, and go to take cover with their brethren from the Shvatim of Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet Menashe, across the Jordan. But still, there's much of the nation that goes and runs after Shaul to be with him, v'chol ha'am chardu acharav. Now, if we remember in Perek Yud, Shmuel commanded Shaul to wait for him for 7 days at Gilgal. And so we hear, Vayochel Shivat Yamim Lamoed Asher Shmuel. Shaul waits 7 days to the designated time that Shaul was supposed to come, Vilo Ba. And according to Shaul's calculations, Shmuel did not arrive. Vayefet Ha'amealav. And the nation disperses. They run away from Shaul because they are scared of the Plishtim who have prepared for war. It would be enlightening at this time to go back and to see what the exact command from Shmuel Hanavi was in Perek Yud. This came immediately after Shmuel's telling Shaul what the otot, the signs would be that he would encounter, that would in fact verify that he will become king. And in the pasuk after that, in Perek Yud, we heard, V'yaradeta lefanai ha-Gilgal, go head to the Gilgal before me. V'hine anochi yored elecha lehalot olot lezboch zivchei shlamim. I will come and go down to bring olot and shlamim, various kinds of karbanot. Shivat yamim tochel ad boi elecha. Wait 7 days until I come to you. And at that point, I will let you know what you should do. Back to our perek, Shaul waits for Shmuel. It is the 7th day. The nation has left, and Shaul gives the order to the people to give him what he needs, the animals he needs in order to bring the karban. Vayomer Shaul, Hagishu Elai Haola, Vashlamim Vayaal Haola. He receives what he needs for the Ola and Shlamim, but he has time only to bring the Ola and not the Shlamim before Shmuel actually arrives. Then we hear of Shmuel's reaction. Shaul's happy to see Shmuel. He goes out to greet him, to bless him. Shmuel's reaction is less enthusiastic. Vayomer Shmuel, 2 words. Me asita. What did you do? So, let's describe what Shaul is going through at this moment. And let's discuss whether the expectations are realistic for Shaul, what the expectations actually are, and what would prevent him from performing as expected to. So we know several things about the Plishtim. We know that they're preparing for war. We know that they have been provoked and they are worked up because Yonatan has killed the Netziv Plishtim. We know that they have 36,000 chariots and they have multitudes of people in their army who will need to face off against an army 3,000 strong that belongs to Am Yisrael. Later on in the parak, we will also find out that a law was enacted for years before this by the Plishtim that forbade the Am Yisrael from having any metalsmiths. No one was allowed to know how to, or was allowed to actually make anything out of metal, because then they would make weapons. So anytime somebody from Am Yisrael needed a shovel, they would have to go to a Plishti or elsewhere in order to get weapons. And so Am Yisrael had no weapons. And they are approaching, and instead of being in a place that would be tactically strategic, Shaul is waiting in Gilgal, which is spiritually significant, but not the place he would need to be to battle the Plishtim. So what were we expecting? What was Shmuel expecting? And what was Hashem's expectation of Shaul? Let's see what Shaul has to say in his own defense. Ki ra'iti ki nafata amei alai, I saw that the nation left me, they dispersed. Vata lo vata lo moed hayamim, you didn't come. It was already 7 days. Uplishtim nesafim michmash, and the Plishtim are gathering already, preparing for war in Michmash. Va'omar, atayirdu plishtim elai. Now the Plishtim will come down to me, to the Gilgal. Upnei Hashem lo chiliti, and I did not beseech from before Hashem. I did not bring karbanot in order to ask Hashem for his help. Ve'eta pak ba'aleh ha'ola, and I restrained myself and brought the ola. What does it mean that he restrained himself? It seems here that what he did was an act of lack of restraint. So Rashi tells us, Nitchazakti al ritzoni shahayali biomer lehamtin. I had to go against my heart, my natural inclination, which said to wait. And I had to conquer that inclination and bring the ola, bring the karban. The Malbim says, Ve'etapeka, I held back, means I held back from waging war. I brought the karban, yet I held back from waging war. In fact, we don't know whether he would have waged the war, because had Shmuel not shown up, we don't know what his next move would have been after he brought the karban out. So what is going on here in the face of all of this threatening opposition, the mounting war from the Plishtim? What was he meant to do, and why was he meant to wait there while Am Yisrael decides they're not going to be sitting ducks and they are going to go their own way for the most part? So what the Malbim has to tell us about this is not only enlightening for Shaul's act right over here, but it also enlightens us about Hashem's great reluctance to provide a melech for Yisrael. Shmuel tells Shaul, Niskalta lo shamarta et mitzvat Hashem elokecha asher tzivach. You were foolish and you did not keep the commands of Hashem that he commanded you, ki ata, because now, hechin Hashem et mamlechtecha el Yisrael ad olam. Hashem prepared or established your reign for Am Yisrael ad olam, forever. Ve'ata mamlechtecha lo takum, but now your monarchy will not endure. So the Malbim, in explaining to us why it would say, now Hashem has prepared your reign forever, what does that mean? We would think that now Hashem has undone your mamlacha, and originally he had prepared it forever. But the Malbim explains that the ata, the now, is telling us that it was all about now. It was all about this nisayon. This was the pivotal moment that would determine whether you are worthy and whether you could continue to serve as king. And here's why. The Malbim tells us that by Shaul's act, in any event, whether he would have waited or not waited, that would have been the litmus test. That would be indicative of whether Shaul understood that Hashem was the one waging the war. Despite all of the tactical, strategic motions Am Yisrael had to go through in their battles, that Hashem is the one who's waging their war. And the Malbim tells us, Ma shechashavta be'avrecha al dvari, what you were thinking, as indicated by your transgressing my word, Shmuel's word, from Hashem, shemalchutcha nimshach l'inyan tivi, that your reign is a natural one, kefitach sisei ha-milchama, which follows general war tactics. You demonstrated that that was your thinking, that the war is going to follow general war tactics. After all, in a natural situation, if you have an army that is so powerful and so strong, and they are coming out at you with clear intent to destroy you, you did not sit at Gilgal and wait, unless you know L'Hashem HaMilchama, that Hashem always determines the course of events and what will result in battle. In fact, the Radak, back in Perek Yud, when the initial command was given, points out that Shaul should have understood how critical the fulfillment of that particular command to wait the 7 days was, as it was told to him immediately after being told of those otot that would indicate that he is going to be king. He was told that when those otot transpire, it means that he is king. And you should wait 7 days, was the command. Meaning he should have understood, according to the Radak, that his reign depends upon this. Now, in light of what the Malbim taught us, we can understand Hashem's reluctance to appoint a king. It requires a highly sensitive and highly sophisticated and developed sense of bitachon on the part of the nation and the king to see what looks like a natural battle and know that Hashem is waging war. When a leader is solely a spiritual leader, and Am Yisrael comes and calls out for help to the spiritual leader when oppressors come and attack, and the spiritual leader says, I'll call out to Hashem, and he returns to the nation and says, Hashem said that everything will be okay, or it won't be okay, it's much easier for them to understand that Hashem is orchestrating what is going on when they fall into the hands of the enemy and when they are victorious at war. It is a far greater challenge to understand that Hashem is the one who is orchestrating their victory, or, God forbid, the enemy's victory, when everything is accomplished through seemingly natural means by a melech who looks like melech kechol hagoyim, a melech who is strategizing and fighting wars like all the rest of the nations. Shmuel tells Shaul about the destiny of his reign at this point. V'ata mamlachtecha lo takum. Your reign will not endure. Bikesh Hashem lo ish kilvavo. Hashem wanted there to be somebody who follows his heart, his ratzon. Ve'itzavehu Hashem l'nagid al amo. And he commanded him as a leader over his nation. Ki lo shamart et asher tzivcha Hashem, because you did not observe what Hashem commanded you. At that point, Shaul goes back to the war at hand. He counts, and now he has only 600 soldiers. The Plishtim, by contrast, are getting more and more prepared for war. We hear Vayitze Hamashchit Mimachane Plishtim, the destroyer, leaves Plishtim, leaving us no doubt about what his intentions are. They have three different Roshim, generals, who all split and go in three different directions. And we are told now in the Pesukim, what we mentioned before, that there are absolutely no weapons among Am Yisrael. The only ones who have weapons at this point are Shaul and Yonatan. The parak ends, Vayetze Matzav Plishtim El Mavar Mechmash. And the head strategizer, the head of the army of the Plishtim, goes to Mechmash. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.